Let me show you what the world looked like. This is what the world looks like. This is what the gym looks like. This is what your office looks like, your job looks like. This is what it looks like. Every place you go in Atlanta, in the country, in the world, this is what we're in. We're in a spiritually dark world everywhere. I notice the light is only on one person right now. It's on me. This is what you look like when you walk into the gym, but you don't see yourself like this. This is what you look like when you go into the office, but you don't see yourself like this. This is what you look like when you go into the job, but you don't see yourself like this. This is what you look like when you get around your unsafe family members, but you don't see yourself like this. This is what you look like when you're in Walmart and Target and the mall. This is what you look like on the highway. This is what you look like every place in the world. This is what you look like. You are the light of every sphere of influence. But if you don't understand your identity, you walk into the room looking like this. You just as dark as the world. So we can't see Christ coming off of you. But when you understand your identity, you understand that every place you walk into, you walk in like this. You go to school like this. You're on your college campus like this. You're in the meetings like this. You're in Zoom like this. You're on Instagram like this. You're in Visco like this. You're in your job. This is what you look like every place you go. And the light that's beaming off of me is not my own virtue. It is the reflection of Christ beaming off of me. His words coming out of my mouth. His love coming out of my heart. His ways coming out of my life. This is your identity in the world. And if you don't walk like this, what hope does the world have?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was barren with no form of life. It was under a roaring ocean covered with darkness. But the Spirit of God was moving over the water. The first day, God said, "I command light to shine." And light started shining. God looked at the light and saw that it was good. He separated light from darkness and named the light day, and the darkness night. Evening came, then morning. That was the first day. The second day, God said, "I command a dome to separate the water above it from the water below it." And that's what happened. God made the dome and named it sky. Evening came, then morning. That was the second day. The third day, God said, "I command the water under the sky to come together in one place, so there will be dry ground." And that's what happened. God named the dry ground land, and he named the water ocean. God looked at what he had done and saw that it was good. God said, "I command the earth to produce all kinds of plants, including fruit trees and grain." And that's what happened. The earth produced all kinds of vegetation. God looked at what he had done, and it was good. Evening came, then morning. That was the third day. The fourth day, God said, "I command lights to appear in the sky and to separate day from night, and to show the time for seasons, special days, and years. I command them to shine on the earth." And that's what happened. God made two powerful lights, the brighter one to rule the day, and the other to rule the night. He also made the stars. Then God put these lights in the sky to shine on the earth, to rule day and night, and to separate light from darkness. God looked at what he had done, and it was good. Evening came, then morning. That was the fourth day, the fifth day. God said, "I command the ocean to be full of living creatures, and I command birds to fly above the earth." So God made the giant sea monsters and all the living creatures that swim in the ocean. He also made every kind of bird. God looked at what he had done, and it was good. Then he gave the living creatures his blessing. He told the ocean creatures to increase and live everywhere in the ocean, and the birds to increase everywhere on earth. Evening came, then morning. That was the fifth day. The sixth day, God said, "I command the earth to give life to all kinds of tame animals, wild animals, and reptiles." And that's what happened. God made every one of them. Then he looked at what he had done, and it was good. God said, "Now we will make humans, and they will be like us. We will let them rule the fish, the birds, and all other living creatures." So God created humans to be like himself. He made men and women. God gave them his blessing and said, Have a lot of children. Fill the earth with people and bring it under your control. Rule over the fish in the ocean, the birds in the sky, and every animal on the earth. I have provided all kinds of fruit and grain for you to eat, and I have given the green plants as food for everything else that breathes, including animals, both wild and tame, and birds. And so it was. God looked at what he had done. All of it was very good. Evening came, then morning. That was the sixth day. So the heavens and the earth and everything else were created. By the seventh day, God had finished his work, and so he rested. God blessed the seventh day and made it special, because on that day he rested from his work. That's how God created the heavens and the earth.
Welcome to the show, guys. Thank you all for tuning in to another week. We hope everyone is staying blessed, staying out the way. Jesus is Lord. Again, thank you all. We hope everyone is doing okay. And Dez, how are you feeling today? Well, before that, again, thank you all for tuning into the show. Please like, comment, subscribe. And if you are feeling generous and want to donate to our cause and what we're trying to do, the Cash App will be at the bottom of the screen. And it's because of you all, through God's grace and mercy, that we're able to do this on a basis, and just to keep you all informed and to spread the word of God and try to plant seeds and let God do the growing of saving souls out here. Time is ticking. How are you feeling today, Dez?
I'm blessed. Blessed to be alive. Blessed to have another day on earth. Always when I pray, I always say, thank you, God, for allowing me to have a car. Thank you, God, for allowing me to have money to put gas in the car. Thank you, God, for giving me a job. I'm thankful that I got food in my fridge. I'm thankful that I got a bed I can lay in. I'm thankful I got a tub I can go freshen up in. You know, I thank God for the small things, you know, even if I never get the big things. Of course, everybody wanted, you know, a little something more, but I'm thankful for what I do have. And I pray that you guys are out there. If you have a house or you have an apartment, or you able to lay on the floor, you thank the Lord that someone is willing to let you come in their home. You know, that's a blessing in itself. You know, would you rather be outside, especially in the wintertime and, you know, rain and all this type of stuff? So we want to thank God in all circumstances, you know. And I just want to continue to give him praise, because we don't know what the future holds. You know, only God can protect us. We see what the things that our government is doing. So I just want to say thank you, guys, for continuing to watch this show. Please, like she said, like, comment, and subscribe. And continue to follow us, and we will try our best to give you guys updates and keep you aware of what's going on in the world.
Yes, amen. And I think it's imperative that if you are followers of Christ, that we have to stay strong in the faith. We have to also remind ourselves of what being a follower of Christ or a Christian is. What does that contain? You know, Christianity is not knowing lyrics to a gospel song or having a Bible verse in your IG bio or following the world and chasing worldly possessions or only following Jesus when you feel like it or when times get hot, then you want to get on your knees and pray. Or being holy during what you all call it, Lent or Holy Week, and then you're back to your dirty ways after the so-called Good Friday. But, you know, being a Christian is denying yourself and dying to yourself, being doers of the word, not just hearers, living for God 24/7, worshiping him no matter how hard life gets, pleasing Jesus rather than people, even if it costs you to lose relationships. You know, we are the light, the salt of the world. You're going to lose relationships. Some people are not going to be around you. You know, if you're a Christian, everybody loves you and want to be around you, I would question that. Being so different from the world that you're considered an alien, following the word of God, not man-made traditions, and to not be ashamed of Jesus in front of friends or at work anywhere. And I think that's all something that we can work on. And so that's what being a follower of Christ is. And you all have to understand the times that we are living in. When Christ came back, they didn't even believe that it was Jesus. You know, the religious folks was waiting on someone else to come. They didn't know that, oh, okay, this is him. this man here and he looks like this. You know, it was so dark that he was telling them the things that they should be doing and they didn't even want to do that. So these are the times that we're getting back to. I mean, just put yourself and look at an angle of the laws that's being passed. Laws that's being passed, things that's being considered of the norm now, the AI coming in and into our healthcare system, into our work system, into, you know, our worship system. You know what I mean? Like, it, just like the days of Noah was so dark that God had to come and destroy it. And just keep in mind of what being a Christian is. Open up your Bibles and you have to, you know, get in the Word and know the obedience.
Make sure you pray.
Yes, pray.
That's up there.
Now, the God of Molech, where we are now dedicating and taking our babies. Did you not think God was going to shift this? Did you not think God was going to shake it? Dealing with economy. We're dealing with the resources of another generation for the next 40 years that are so important to what God has to do. When we start messing with economy, we're messing with kingdom. When you start messing with God's government, he pulls out his big militaristic branch of God that begins to rise up and get back on the gates. Why? Because the gates represents what's going to be a lawful and what's going to be acceptable that can come in. And some of us left the gates and got caught up in Pharaoh's food, got caught up in what he was given, and all he was doing was keeping you busy. You working two jobs, you working overtime. Come on, all he's doing is keeping you busy because he don't want you to produce nothing. And that's what he did with the Israelites in Egypt. He taxed them with so much more because he wanted them to be so wore out, they had no worship for their God. He wanted them to be so wore out, they couldn't go into prayer. He wanted them to be so wore out that when God announces in 2019, now I'm going to cause you to come into new beginnings in 2018, and I'm going to cause you to give birth, He wanted you to be so tired that you couldn't even push. He wanted them to be so tired that when it was time for their baby to come forth, that they so wore out because they've been working so hard trying to get what's already theirs. Whew. And if they had just waited and stayed in worship with God, God said, I'm going to turn it over to you anyway. I'm just setting it up because when I bring you out, I'm going to bring you out in front of your enemy. When I bring you out and I reset you in what I'm doing, I'm going to bring you out and I want the enemy to know that in his face, I'm going to cross you over. In his face, I'm telling you right now, in the face of your enemy, God is saying, I'm getting ready to resurrect a church that's going to walk in a place of pure power.
That's right. As you can see, this Masonic temple is actually MTV Studio. MTV Studios actually bought this Masonic temple to shoot programming in here. And this is just additional information to help you understand everything that we've been talking about in the videos, how they actually try to tap into this occult power so that they can influence our minds with this media. That's what's going on right here behind us at this MTV studio building, which is nothing more than a Masonic temple. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up. This thing is serious.
Now take a look at this and think for a second. Not only have they retained the name Masonic Temple on the face of this MTV studio building, but directly above the MTV logo is the Freemason compass and square. Now that's a pretty interesting place for them to choose to situate their MTV logo.
Because what the enemy desires to do is to keep us so distracted that we don't understand the lateness of the hour. Jesus said, you can look at the clouds and you can tell whether it's going to rain. You just, you look at that. You know, and some of us, we have to look at the clouds. We wake up, can't hardly walk. Amen. Get out the bed, limping in there. What's wrong with you? Must be going to rain today. Go outside, look up, ain't a cloud nowhere in the sky. How in the world you come up? Is it gonna rain? I just feel it all in my bone. I feel it right here. That left knee tricking. Now you can tell all of that. You can look at the trees and tell the seasons. You can look at the sky and discern the weather, but then you can't step back and say, hey, man, these dots are starting to connect. Jesus must be soon to come. You got people that are so clueless. The Satan has blinded, the Bible says, he blinds the mind. And I was reading the other day, author said that the eyes are useless when the mind is blind. And Satan blinds the minds. Why does he blind the mind? The Bible tells us, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them, and then they end up being converted. Satan is blinding the mind. He's using a whole lot of distraction. People now so caught up in stuff. You know, I ain't never seen church folks so caught up in sports. Just all they neck deep in sports. You can tell when football season, look at them getting quiet. Football season start, folks used to come to church on Sunday night, stop showing up. And know all of that. Stats and scores and awards and all this from many years ago. They can tell you all that stuff. Ask them to quote you five scriptures. Well, you know, it ain't about the scriptures, you know. It's about. So distracted that we can't even discern the times. People are so caught up having fun that they can't even see that this ain't nothing to laugh at. If Jesus cracked those clouds, you think about all your friends and family members, your children, your parents who are not saved, that are going to have to be here for all the stuff you've been hearing about lately. This ain't no time to play.
This is the sculpture that's caused so much outrage. Entitled McJesus, it displays a fast food outlet's famous mascot hanging from a cross, an important symbol in Christianity. Haifa Museum has added a disclaimer that it's not meant to cause offense, but it has. On Friday, hundreds of protesters faced off with the police on the streets as they attempted to force their way into the museum to remove it themselves. Others are camping outside until the work is taken down.
This is something I kneel for. I redeem it with my soul. I offer it with all the good things, and what do you expect? I first of all felt that this is a big insult, a big insult. I hope that everyone will stand with us in solidarity.
The heads of churches across Israel are seeking a court order to have the sculpture removed.
We started with the heads of the churches. A petition was offered to the judiciary to remove it. We will continue through peaceful rallies and vigils with the churches, the museum and the municipality. We won't be quiet until we reach a solution.
We need to understand that freedom of expression is interpreted in different ways in different societies. We live today in Israel. If this work was directed against non-Christians, the world would be turned upside down.
It's not only the Christian community that's angry, but the artist himself. He asked the museum not to use his work in September when he joined the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions of Israel. He told Israeli media that Israel uses culture as a form of propaganda to whitewash the occupation. But the director of the museum says he's defending the freedom of art, culture and speech.
We understand, fully understand the hurt feeling of the Christians here, but we have to explain to them that this wasn't the meaning, and we are sorry that they are offended by this work.
The Christian population makes up just 2% of Israel, and people in the community say it's a daily struggle to freely practice their culture and religion.
Hold on, stop scrolling. If you work in the medical field, or you are somebody who is a first responder, or someone who is just plain out blown away by the medical practices that have taken place in our country and around the world in the past few years, you're going to want to see this. I just happened to stumble across this, and it's going to blow your mind. I don't know if you guys noticed on the Baphomet, there's a rod going through the middle of two serpents intertwining. Stay following along. I know we're all familiar with this sign, and everyone who works in the medical field especially. Now, what is the resemblance that you might ask that it has to do with the picture that I just showed of the Baphomet? Well, I think it's real clear and very obvious, that same rod with those two serpents swirling in the middle. I wouldn't call it a coincidence. I know we are also familiar with this logo right here that is on the side of every first responder's vehicle. Well, let me take you on a little history lesson of the origins of where it comes from. It dates back to the times of Greek mythology and is also known as the Rod of Asclepius. It is a serpent-entwined rod wielded by the Greek god Asclepius. Stay following along. Asclepius is a hero and god of medicine in ancient Greek religion and mythology. He is the son of Apollo and Coronis. Coronis? Medicine and healing are associated with Apollo, whether through the god himself or mediated through his son Asclepius. Apollo delivered people from epidemics, yet he is also known as a god to bring ill health and deadly plagues with his arrows. With his arrows. Now, what caught my attention the most is Apollo and Apollyon. For those of you who know and read your Bibles, it derives from the Greek word apolumi, which means to destroy, die, lose, or perish. Let's see who Apollyon is according to the Strong's Dictionary. It also derives from the Greek word apoluon, which is also the destroyer. That is Satan. Never mind. You guys ain't following along.
Things humans should never have seen. What hides the clock?
Seem to go today. It's all about artificial intelligence and robots. And yes, it seems like a whole bunch of fun and games, but what is really happening? There is a battle between AI and humans. And technology is a blessing, but it also slaps us in the face. My biggest question is, what's next? What is going to happen?
My darkest thoughts are that humans will eventually be replaced by robots. I think that humans will be replaced because robots will eventually be faster, stronger, and more intelligent.
I had a dental office visit today and everything seemed normal. I had x-rays. I experienced great customer service. After the x-rays, I was sent to a room. I thought I was waiting on my dentist to walk in. Yes, I took a few selfies. Now listen to this.
So the artificial intelligence is picking out some cavities there on that tooth, my dear.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, you've got a cavity on the lower right underneath the missing tooth. The tooth on that bottom area.
Okay.
So on this one, we're gonna be able to just put a filling for you.
Okay. That appointment was definitely different. So what do you think?
The next generation of Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses. These are the first smart glasses that are built and shipping with Meta AI in them. Starting in the US, you're gonna get this state-of-the-art AI that you can interact with hands-free wherever you go. We're gonna be issuing a free software update to the glasses that makes them multimodal. So the glasses are gonna be able to understand what you're looking at when you ask them questions. So if you wanna know what the building is that you're standing in front of, or if you want to translate a sign that's in front of you to know what it's saying, or if you need help fixing this sad leaky faucet, you can basically just talk to Meta AI and look at it, and it'll walk you through it step by step how to do it. We built in one more feature into these smart glasses. You are going to be able to live stream to your friends and followers from your glasses.
Everybody is ready to race, and I am getting ready too. Let's go.
Switching to glasses.
Being able to share, you know, what you're doing live with your friends and followers while staying completely in the moment is the kind of thing that you can only do on smart glasses. So, all right, these Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, we're launching them on October 17th. I'm starting at $299, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what you all think of.
The founder of NASA, which is this deceptive organization that collects billions of dollars from taxpayers every year, was a man by the name of Wernher von Braun. Now, this Wernher von Braun, he was a German engineer who played a prominent role in all aspects of rocketry and space exploration, first in Germany and after World War II in the United States. So it's funny because these engineers came from Germany after World War II and they came to and received prominent positions in the U.S. government.
Prominent positions.
Now, when Wernher von Braun died, his tombstone or his the place where they buried him has a scripture. And that scripture is Psalms chapter 19 from verse 1. And you know what it says? The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. So this guy who's supposedly the head of NASA's space exploration, he knew that the earth is covered with a firmament that is firm.
Masses.
They're deceiving masses. And if you're watching screens, if you have grown up in the heliocentric version of creation, then even this conversation, everything in you is fighting against it because you've been brought up in it to believe that the earth is a globe and that it's moving. And that, I mean, even if you think for yourself, water does not behave that way in a convex. If you put water in a container, it takes the shape of the container. All right. So at what point can water surround a ball on the outside? And then supposedly that ball is spinning and that ball is spinning through space. And if space is a vacuum, then shouldn't it suck the water from the surface? So how is it possible that, you know, you can't even reconcile some of the suggestions that they're making. And
even if they know the truth, mm-hmm. they cannot say it because they have sworn an oath to Jablon.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's up there with the word. I think both of them are neck and neck.
I believe so too. They're both one and one.
Yeah.
They're both one and one. I mean, because that's how you, yeah, that's how you talk to them. Yeah, it's pray.
When I be praying, a lot of times I be crying. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just you tear up. You know, because thinking about what God has done for you and who you once was and how He loved you while you were that. Now you would have went to hell, but He still loved you enough to let you know that He's real. You know.
In the beginning of, I would say. Within like the past month or two, I began to like get emotional. But at first, I didn't get emotional. You know, and I'm not afraid to say that. You know, I will pray, but I wouldn't really. I wasn't breaking down in tears. You know, it didn't happen. But now, every now and then, when I do pray, more like I do get emotional. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that tears are streaming down my face, but sometimes I do tear up, yeah. You know, and it's just
grown woman,
you have to practice. You have to practice that. Practice your faith and being obedient and praying.
Humble yourself. It comes with it being humble. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we have this little these things set up within us that we don't want to, you know, I guess let God have control over everything. You know, when you get on your knees, it's showing submission. Yeah, we could stand up and, you know, pray, and I do. I stand up and pray. Sometimes when I'm laying on the bed, I wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I lay in the bed and pray. But sometimes in the middle of the night, when God wake me up, I get up, I get on my knees, and I, you know, read a prayer out to the Lord. And yeah, a lot of times I get on my knees and I pray. And sometimes when I'm within prayer and going a long time, and just thinking about what He's done for me and thinking about, you know, I always try to stay in that place of I'm new. I'm just becoming a Christian. You know, I just came a Christian. I just found Christ, you know, because I always think about how I was just was a porn watcher, how I was a fornicator. What was I, how the type of guy I used to be, you know, how I used to at work sometimes going to watch some porn, you mm-hmm. know, in yeah. the bathrooms. I used to be real messed up, man. So I'm thankful for what God has done for me, you know. I'm thankful that He put it on my heart to hurry up and get married, man. Hey, I want to show the fear. You know, I understood what fear was. I understood what love is, you know. So I just want to put that on you guys' heart to just be humble. And then when it comes time to give somebody your testimony, give it to them at the drop of a hat. You know, don't hide your testimony. Let a person know the bad things about you so God can be glorified through your testimony.
Amen.
The best way.
Amen.
You know, that they will be able to see Christ when they look at you. Like,
amen.
Dang, you was that far off.
Amen.
And then, you know, sometimes you got to reach even further. Maybe you never did certain type of stuff, but you to get on that same level as them, so they won't feel down. I was a drug addict, man. I used to smoke weed every day. It wasn't the day I got up. You know, of course, I didn't smoke weed like that. But hey, to a weed man, a person that smoked weed like that, I'm telling, I'm right there with you. I was just, you know what I'm saying? I smoked like this 4, 5 blunts, 6 blunts. You know, you try to get on their level, so then you can bring them up because they can see, okay, he was just like me. And God had cleaned him up. Okay, it's possible for me too. You know, show Christ in all these ways.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I'm sorry we started it like that.
But no, you have to start. I mean, yeah. this is not just about news, but yeah. It's about spreading the gospel. I mean, and this is right. People need to hear this because these are the things that Christians don't talk about. And I'm not saying all Christians, but the conversation is not had enough so people can know, oh, I'm not the only one out here battling. Okay, now that I've gave my life to Christ, this is what I'm going through, and this is what I'm continuing to work through, and he's going to cleanse me of so people can see the glory. You know what I mean? People think that when you become a Christian, everything just goes away, and it's just, oh, amen, God blesses. God bless me with, yeah, he does bless you, but you're not talking about the dark side, the dark things that still go on within and how you get over that darkest hour. Yeah, so.
Just like Paul, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 to 22. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means, save some. So, I become weak. I become a guy that used to smoke weed all day.
Relatable. You had to be. You had to be that fleshly individual, not just able to.
You all high and mighty.
Yeah.
You got your. I've never been like that. You know what I mean?
Nah, man. I had to, you know, be humbled in a way where everyone can see that. Okay, a piece of you. You know, like this is me. This is what I'm going through. You know, so. That was a good scripture, and again, we thank you all for tuning in. And in today's day, it's a lot of crime and violence going on. It's a lot of free speech. We do have like what's going over in Israel. Not only in Israel, but things are going on over in Somalia, over in Haiti. You know. It's just not being, the camera is just not, they're just not putting the news out, but it's wars over in those places as well as over in different parts of Africa. So.
And still in Ukraine and Russia.
Exactly. So,
we pray for peace.
Exactly.
We don't choose sides in no matter what war, no matter who's fighting or whatever. As a Christian, our stance is we pray for peace. That's all we can do. That's it. My father, he on one side for us, the Israel side, and you know, I told him, we just pray for peace. You know, I don't choose sides in the war. That God controls all of that, and we're gonna let whatever happens happen. But that's it.
And also, as an introduction to the show, to get the show kicked off, we do know that Halloween is coming up, and part of what I like to do is just. Which I feel like all Christians should like to do is continue to find ways that we can edify each other. And not only if you are a Christian, but if you are of the world and you're watching this, we do, again, Halloween is coming up, and I just want to shed light on what Halloween is, why it was celebrated, and how all of a sudden these rituals and traditions came over here for us to celebrate these yearly and give our soul, our spirit to. You know what I mean? And without further ado, so just a little bit of background before I get into it. Of course, we know that Halloween is a holiday celebrated each year on October 31st, but the tradition originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, and I hope I didn't butcher that name, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts in the 8th century. Also, Halloween is the day before All Saints Day. The Pope made All Saints Day November 1st, and to align with Halloween. All Saints Day used to be, I believe, March 13th, I believe. But Halloween's origins date back to the Celtic festival of Samhain. The Celts, who lived 2,000 years ago mostly in the area that is now Ireland, the United Kingdom, and northern France, celebrated their new year on November 1st. Now, this day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of the year that was often associated with human death. Now, Celts believe that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. On the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to Earth. Now, in addition to causing trouble and damaging crops, Celts thought that the presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the Druids or Celtic priests to make predictions about the future. Now, for a people entirely dependent on the volatile natural world, these prophecies were an important source of comfort during the long dark winter. Now, to commemorate the event, the Druids built huge sacred bonfires where the people gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. Now, during the celebration, the Celts wore costumes typically consisting of animal heads and skins and attempted to tell each other's fortunes. Now, when the celebration was over, they relit their hearth fires, which they had extinguished earlier that evening from the sacred bonfire, to help protect them during the coming winter. Now, also, by AD 43, the Roman Empire had conquered the majority of the Celtic territory. Now, in the course of the 400 years that they ruled the Celtic lands, two festivals of Roman origin were combined with the traditional Celtic celebration of Samhain. The first was Firilea, a day in late October when the Romans traditionally commemorated the passing of the dead. The second was a day to honor Pomona. Now, Pomona is the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. The symbol of Pomona is the apple, and the incorporation of this celebration into Samhain probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples that is practiced today on Halloween. You know, you have the game bobbing for apples. Now, also, All Saints Day on May 13th AD, Pope Boniface dedicated the Pantheon in Rome in honor of all Christian martyrs, and the Catholic Feast of All Martyrs Day was established in the Western Church. Now, Pope Gregory later expanded the festival to include all saints as well as the martyrs and moved the observance from May 13th to November 1st, and that's a day after Halloween. So, and then we adopted that tradition from the Celts, the Romans, because, you know, they eventually came over here to America and they brought that with them. And that's why we celebrate it. We dress up as the dead. We dressed up as goblins and ghosts. We put blood on our face. We tell ghost stories, all these conjuring movies and all of that. But we celebrate that. And, yeah.
And it's demonic.
And we have haunted houses that you can implement and pay to go in, and people dress up as the dead and you get scared. And so, as Christians, no, we should not be celebrating Halloween. No.
Because it's demonic. You see a Christian celebrating, you know, just ask them, you know, what do you like about it? Do you like dead people rising from the dead, like ghosts and goblins? You know, what do you like about it?
Or is it just a kid?
Do you think it's godly? You know, like, do you think
I wouldn't
it's
think nothing. Listen, if I were to read the Bible, Bible, which I have, but if I was a person just getting into Bible and reading, get to know it, I wouldn't even know. Like, wait, I don't think we should be celebrating the dead and all of that. Like, it says, you know, don't worship their gods and celebrate their traditions, their feasts, yeah, and sacrifice your children. Like, yeah, it says that. Yeah, I wouldn't know something is wrong. So
eating brains and stuff. That's weird, man. It's very
blood
demonic.
Dripping from your lip. You know what I mean? Like,
they love celebrating. They can't. I bet you on some of these Halloween parties or something. It's gonna be a lot of devils out there. Why do you think they're dressing like the devil? This is day. Yeah.
And I used to, I'm be honest, you know, I used to celebrate, like I used to celebrate Halloween. I used to celebrate, but when I came,
I didn't know God.
Thank you. That's the thing.
Yeah, I celebrated. I turned up.
Yeah.
But I didn't know him. Now I know him. Oh, heck no. Mm-hmm. Heck no. I'm not celebrating that day.
You know, God says we have to, I don't know which verse that is, but he said we have to come out of the world. We cannot conform to the world. The world has their man-made traditions, their religions, their rituals, and we have to come out of that. We were born into that. And the hardest thing is detaching ourselves from the world. Meaning, yeah, it's almost like you would have to become an alien. You know what I mean? How else would you become light? What do we look like as a Christian? And we do the same thing that the world do, but we just have the knowledge of God. You know what I mean? What is the glory in that? How are we changing our lifestyle, our habits, our addictions?
Too much is given, much is required.
You know?
Now you know God. Now you know, you got to think about it. You know, you think God would like this day? Is this a godly day? You know,
in the Bible, did they celebrate a day of the dead and wear costumes and stuff? No. They buried their people, but they didn't wear costumes and
try to scare you.
Paint faces and all of that. No.
God don't give you a spirit of fear. So if you're trying to scare, you're trying to put fear in somebody, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it don't match. Yeah, like you said, come out of the world. I mean, that's all. We're going to go to the next, man. Y'all should know, you know, don't celebrate Halloween. You got the, you know, back history on it, you know. But you do what you want to do. You know, we pass out some of that candy. My mother used to always tell us, you know, watch, you know, make sure we look at the candy before we eat it, because, you know, there's some demonic people out here. They'll put some needles or something in your candy, or, you know, do something to it. So you got to make sure it haven't been opened, you know.
They used to have those houses. They used to have the candy sitting there for you.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
You get in there and get the money.
I didn't look. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't think anybody looked.
I didn't look either.
But I'm pretty sure somebody got a needle or something in their candy that wasn't supposed to be there. And then, you know, some of them will let you in their house. Come on in.
Oh, yeah. They would. Come on in. We got the candy right here. Yeah, they did that.
I bet you somebody probably got kidnapped.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Kidnapped, killed on Halloween.
Yeah, they
you don't
looking
know
around.
Everybody's just in the street. Hey,
these little kids, y'all only 7 years old. Walk, you guys out here by yourself. They open the door and look and see where your parents at. Oh, they're at the house. Oh yeah.
And if you all need to believe that, I mean, because I'm starting to see more stories of Operation Stings, people being arrested for human trafficking, child sex trafficking in many different multiple states. They called one guy and he said, oh, I just wanted to be able to eat a child. Like,
told us about a man who he said wanted to eat a child. Yes, eat her, as in cannibalism. And that was just one of the shocking details we heard at that press conference this morning.
A knock on the door.
What's up, man? What's up?
Met by guys in green. 45 people arrested for being child predators, prostitutes, johns, human traffickers, and this.
A gentleman wanted a person brought to him that he could eat, physically cannibalize.
That was Justin Bensing, who also, according to this warrant, planned to kidnap a child and make her drink her own pee to get him off.
You want to talk about the depravity of humanity? Look at these people.
People like Assam Batros.
He took an erectile dysfunction pill before he got there. And then he injected himself with testosterone into his genitals.
All while thinking he was meeting a 14-year-old, like many of the people who knocked at this door.
You're good, bro.
During the course of the investigation, a lot of people admitted that they knowingly had sexually transmitted diseases, and they were willing to have sex with a 14-year-old.
The Roman Catholic Church has opened a formal meeting that's likely to address major controversies like female priests and the church's response to its gay members. Pope Francis celebrated Mass this morning to open that meeting, saying the church needs to lower its barriers and welcome everyone.
It's been called the Super Bowl of the Catholic Church. Bishops gathered from around the world to discuss hot-button topics, such as whether or not priests can get married, or whether women can become deacons, or whether or not divorced and remarried Catholics can have communion. The Synod is already historic. It's the first time women and lay people are being allowed to vote. However, 80% of participants are still bishops. But the biggest bombshell dropped earlier this week when Francis opened the door for priests to bless same-sex unions. Now, this came with caveats. Francis emphasized that blessings shouldn't be seen as elevating same-sex unions to the sacred place of heterosexual weddings. Up until now, the church's position has been that same-sex unions cannot be blessed because, quote, God cannot bless sin. But in his statement, Francis said, quote, we cannot be judges who only deny, reject, and exclude. LGBTQ groups have welcomed the important change, while conservative Catholics have blasted Pope Francis for what they say is diluting church doctrine.
Pope Francis says the Catholic Church could bless same-sex civil unions.
Why not?
We're in the end of the end of the end times. The apostasy is here. You've got a fake pope in Rome saying, we're going to sanction homosexual unions in the Catholic Church.
Yes.
The apostasy is here. The great apostasy, the great falling away is here. Jesus is coming. Jesus Christ is coming.
Tonight, officials warning Chicago is approaching a breaking point. Tents full of desperate migrants lining Chicago's iconic Lakeshore Drive. Migrant shelters inside O'Hare Airport. A total of 17,000 migrants showing up since last August, and officials expect 1,200 per day to keep coming. Now Chicago is building sprawling tent camps to get migrants off the streets of places like this ahead of the cold winter months.
Democratic administration is laying the groundwork for bringing back the military draft for young men in the United States. That's right, this is not a fantasy. According to the documents from the U.S. Army War College's plan, they predict that the United States will lose 3,600 soldiers per day in casualties when we start fighting China and Russia. And they say we need the draft now because we won't be able to replace those kinds of numbers without it.
Breaking news! I've been telling people about this. This is the latest. But do you notice something about this? This is only men. These are the people that were released from Venezuela's prison system. All the criminals, all the drug dealers, they are crossing already. I'm going to post it.
Last night, boats arriving on shore carrying illegals. Looks like soldiers landing on the beaches of Normandy when you see these images. Look at that. These are the first thoughts, too. They're like, this is D-Day. You know, it's like those Higgins boats that soldiers use on the beaches of Omaha Beach and so forth to attack Nazi positions.
I don't see any women or children yet. Like, why is it all men all of a sudden?
Yeah, military-age men. I've heard from multiple sources today, overwhelmingly, the train fulls, the cargo holds full are military-age men. Right, look, the boats are pulling back, and then they go and they load up more, and they're bringing them right back.
United Nations peacekeepers, created to facilitate peace in countries of conflict. They are police. This is from their application page. I'm gonna move and let you pause and look at it. How the Biden administration can revive UN peacekeeping. The United States has a critical role to play in positioning peacekeepers to fulfill increasingly complex and demanding mandates. UN peacekeeping missions have supported political transition, disarmed hundreds of thousands of combatants, facilitated free and fair elections, and helped new countries come into being. UN peacekeepers help provide security as Central African Republic holds elections. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? So, this is the job they got.
I don't know if y'all can see what this says. This card that this guy whipped out from Haiti. You know, they was walking by interviewing people, and there was like, this guy said that, you know, he has a card from the government, from the UN, and it got topped up every month. And he was like, this month since he got to the United States that, you know, he has no money on there. And he asked him, you know, how much money did you get put into the account every month? And he was like, 3,000 pesos. And he was like, let me see the card. So the guy flipped the card, you know, real quick. And me being who I am, I screenshotted it. And then I did some investigations. And as you see on the card, it says UMMCA and some other words, right? So, of course, I did my digging. And this is actually who these people are, like I said. Unspecified Minor Military Construction Army. These people that are flooding from into the borders. So, yeah, we have an alien invasion, all right. We're being invaded right now. Get ready. It's World War III.
That was really, like, you all just don't know how dark this world is getting. You all never know what's in a person's mind. We do? Okay, okay. So we'll have this as a clip, but this is serious, guys. Like, these aren't Christ-minded individuals out here. These are people filled with their own lust, and it grows and grows, and you just, you know, so you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You got something for us before I go into the first topic?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we do have a trans influencer, Dylan Mulvaney. You all know him. He was the one on Budweiser and Nike, you know. He was named Woman of the Year by LGBT Magazine.
Okay, well, that's their magazine. So.
Trans-identified influencer Dylan Mulvaney, who has been recognized as a Woman of the Year by an LGBT magazine, is characterizing anyone who refuses to acknowledge the social media personality's preferred gender identity as hateful. I'm not even going to read the whole article, but we are living in a time where you cannot speak out against the laws that are being made. You cannot make other individuals feel uncomfortable about who they want to be called. It's like you can't even have an opinion anymore. And that is really getting, it's interesting times that we're living in. If you misgender someone, if you say that, if you speak out against the war in the wrong way, like, you know, they may want to take your job. You know, you have to sign contracts that you can't speak out about certain things. Like, that is odd. And it's growing. It's growing. You know, these times, these dark times that the days of Noah are fastly approaching us, if you all can see. Just look at the landscape of things. So he won Woman of the Year. And now, when you buy a house, if you buy a rental house, if you go on Zillow, if you look at the bottom of Zillow, they have LGBTQ protection plans and all of that. But it's like, why is that based on someone you choose to sleep with? You know what I mean? Do you have protection packages for someone who may be out of their mind or can't afford to eat? Or is it just if you're just part of the LGBTQ, is that just the thing that we're running with? So, he won Woman of the Year, and he's not a woman. And moving on to...
Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination and shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So that was in the Old Testament, but God is calling it an abomination. And we know in 1 Corinthians that they will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. They won't. All right. So we have a teacher forced to remove cross Bible verse from classroom after atheist group complains. Now, an Indiana public middle school has instructed a teacher to remove Christian wall decor from a classroom after a national secularist legal organization argued that the religious decorations violate the constitutional rights of non-Christian students. Now, an English teacher from Honey Creek Middle School in Teru Hatut, Virgo County, was asked to remove a Latin cross and a Bible quote once hanging on the wall of her classroom. The Freedom From Religious Foundation announced earlier this month. The school district's instruction came after a concerned parent reported the teacher's decor to the Wisconsin-based group that advocates for a strict separation of church and state. Now, in an October statement, the organization said it is pleased to report that the Virgo County School Corp has removed Christian displays from the classroom after receiving a September 8th demand letter from FFRF. Now, I'll just stop there. The wall, okay, this may be good. The wall decor included a quote from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, the FFRF argued that allowing...
What's wrong with that?
Exactly. Now, the FFRF argued that allowing a public school teacher to have religious displays in the classroom violates the establishment clause of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But, remember, they can bring sexuality into the school and ask them if you feel like you're a girl or a boy, if you want to, what should I call you? Yeah. You know, nothing's wrong with that. But if you have a Bible verse, something is wrong with that, so...
Yeah, Romans 1 verses 26 to 32. "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which burning their lust one towards another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God." Okay, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice. So they're haters of God. That's why they wanted that scripture taken down. Well, it was nothing wrong with that scripture. That scripture was just...
But a transgender woman can come in and read a book.
Yeah.
Read a book to your children dressed.
And they have some books that in the books it talks about sexual encounters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sexual encounters, and they're able to read that to your children. So it's also a good thing to pay attention to the curriculum that's being taught to your children, what they're doing in school, and go to the parent-teacher conferences and look in these classrooms. You never know what's in there, you know? So a British school appoints AI chatbot as its principal head teacher. Now, artificial intelligence is arguably one of the most transformative technological advances of our time, bringing out a plethora of changes across various fields and industries. Now, one prep school in the United Kingdom is taking the technology step further by appointing an AI robot as its principal head teacher. Now, according to a report, the robot will assist the current headmaster of West Sussex Cottesmore School by offering him advice on a range of issues and decisions. Now, the robot works much like ChatGPT, an online AI language model developed by an OpenAI that is designed to generate human-like responses to questions and prompts. Now, so far, headmaster Tom Rogerson said the bot has already helped him with drafting school policies, issuing instructions to staff members, and supporting students with learning disabilities such as attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Quote unquote, he says, "We are stepping into the future while preserving the core values of traditional education." Now, Rogerson told the publication, "The introduction of AI is not about replacing our dedicated educators, but about augmenting their capabilities and ensuring our students receive the best education possible." Now, the bot named Abigail Bailey can also be found on the school's website, introducing itself as the new principal head teacher and its plans moving forward. Now, quote unquote, the AI has said, "I have been appointed to assist with the management and leadership of Cottesmore School and also support anyone who would like expert leadership advice. We are especially keen on helping state school leaders to reduce workload and the time it takes to make school changing decisions. Please do ask me questions. I have been well trained on publicly available literature and research. I will be very glad to help." And I will stop there. Now, you mean to tell me they couldn't hire a real person to do this or train a real person? Like, with these AIs and these chatbots, you have to feed it information. You have to train it. You know, you have to spend money into that. And I guess they didn't want to do that with a human being. So, again, you can see, you see what they're solely trying to do. You know, they are putting this AI everywhere, not just in education, in healthcare, in worship, in schools, statues, cars, electronics, podcasts, smart houses, delivery services, yeah. You name it, is there.
Yeah.
You name it, is there. So... that's it. That's it. That's all with that.
Yeah, they want them to have control. They want to, you know, and then they do want to save some money too.
But those things are expensive. Like the amount of money they have to spend on these AIs, and the amount of time and money they have to the data software they have to put in to train it. It's way cheaper to have a human being. So I don't think the money is the issue. All right. So.
St. Louis might take in migrants from Chicago in a bid to boost workforce. Now, it's a lot of these guys that have came over the border that that people are finding out there are UN, you know, this is what's out there, that they're UN, some of them are UN soldiers. Some of them are, they and I believe maybe they're bringing them from Chicago and they're bringing them to St. Louis and they're going to bring them from other places like New York in a way to, you know, to if when some hit the fan, they can have, you know, control over some stuff, you know, because we do have a lot of weapons here. So maybe, you know, maybe they will be like, because then I think we're in Chicago, I mean, maybe in California or somewhere, they were able to get dappy, they able to become police officers.
Yeah, I think it was I know Texas for sure, and I think Chicago was going to adapt that as well. So Texas for sure.
But they're saying these people, some of them are UN. Like they had one of them had a card and saying he was getting paid from the UN. So UN was paying them money to come here as well. That's why you see a lot of men that's military age coming over here. Some of them have no women. It's a whole flock of men, no women. These, we believe, and I believe in my heart, that these people are military people.
You know? Because if you're fleeing, a lot of women come over here with children, but you're seeing more men than just women and children, and healthy men that are in shape.
Yeah,
they look like they can run 5 miles.
They dropping them off. A lot of the Africans, some Africans out here, you know, too. They dropping them off in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them just standing up, different locations, different places. You know, they want to know the environment. You know, whenever some hit the fan, you know, you never know what's gonna happen in the Middle East, and then you know, we do something here, something happen here. Then they'll be able to come around and get some order going. You know, get some real martial law the type of stuff going on. You know. We got to be able to, you know, we won't be able to control this place if you got, it's over 300 million weapons. So the way we do that is, you know, have all these other military people coming in here and under our noses, you know.
Exactly. Why? And they're doing it quietly. It's not like it's on the news.
For somebody to be forcing you to get the mark and chasing you down, making sure, you know, it's over 300 million people. You're going to need some people, a lot more police than we already have, a lot more people laying the law than we already have. So, you know, keep your eyes out on that. I think we got clips for that as well.
Okay. And also, Tyson Foods announces partnership with Protix for more sustainable protein production. Now, Tyson Foods, one of the world's largest food companies, has reached an agreement for a twofold investment with Protix. Now, Protix is the leading global insect Ingredients Company. The strategic investment will support the growth of the emerging insect ingredient industry and expand the use of insect ingredient solutions to create more efficient, sustainable proteins and lipids for use in the global food system. Now, the agreement combines Tyson Foods' global scale, experience, and network with Protic's technology and market leadership to meet current demand and scale production of insect ingredients. Now, through a direct equity investment, Tyson Foods will acquire a minority stake in Protic's to help fund its global expansion. In addition, Tyson Foods and Protic's have entered a joint venture for the operation and construction of an insect ingredient facility in the continental United States. Upon completion, it will be the first at-scale facility of its kind to upcycle food manufacturing byproducts into high-quality insect proteins and lipids, which will primarily be used in livestock industries, agriculture, pet food. It's a whole article on this, but actually this article is on Tyson Foods' website. So I didn't find this on a random blog or anything. This is actually posted on their website for you all to read. If you go to Tyson Foods, it's there to read. Bug, insect.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's what they want to feed us anyway. They want to take us off that meat. That's why they've been killing up all the cows.
Vanilla ice cream made from recycled plastic. A British designer claimed to have made the world's first vanilla ice cream recycled from plastic as part of her graduation project. Now, the project entitled Guilty Flavors aimed to use a small amount of plastic to create vanilla-flavored ice cream. Now, Eleonora became inspired to create food out of plastic, having been frustrated with the way plastic is usually recycled by being turned into products that cannot be recycled more than once. From the worms that can digest plastic bags, she wondered if there was any way humans could eat, break down, and eliminate plastic permanently.
That's crazy. I don't know. Why would she make something like that?
We're also having bank closures. Last year, over 3,000 banks have closed. J.P. Morgan closed a lot. Now, J.P. Morgan is one of the leading financial institutions.
We have, I think America bought over 30,000 guillotines. I think it was a couple years ago. And people, you know, believing that it's going to be spread out to the FEMA camps. We have clips on that. And it's also, they have purchased, what is like, it's coffins. It's like some big old, like plastic coffins that this guy, a farmer, had them all littered all over his land. It's over, looked like about 300,000, 500,000. We have clips of that. Please check into that. And also, worldwide caution. America has raised the caution level due to increased tensions in various locations around the world. The potential for terrorist attacks or violent actions against U.S. citizens and interests, the Department of State advisory, U.S. citizens overseas to exercise increased caution because of what's happening in the Middle East. You know, our bases in Iraq has been, I don't want to say bombed, but it's been attacked. Mm-hmm. And bases maybe in Syria has been attacked. And, you know, so just if you're outside the States, you know, raise your caution level. Look around because our government is messing some stuff up over there.
Also, before we get out of here, just to let you know the state of housing out in Georgia, the state agency struggles to meet growing need for housing aid. A Georgia state agency received more than 177,000 applications for housing subsidies, but only 13,000 of those will actually join a waiting list that leads to aid. We're living in a state where food prices are going up, housing prices are continually to rise. Thousands of thousands of people are signing up for aid living to be put on these waiting lists. Again, they say 177,000 people signed up in Georgia. Only 13,000 have just been added to the waiting list, and it's starting to spread. And they're starting around in different states. They're starting to open up parking lots to homeless or people living out of their mobile homes out of their car, just so they'll be able to live. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the next couple of years.
All right, hopefully this is raising your awareness of, you know, everything is happening real quick now, you know, so continue to be looking around, continue to stay on TikTok, continue to stay on our YouTube channel, continue to, you know, look at the news, you know, and realize that, you know, the Bible is being revealed in front of your eyes. You know, our lives is merely a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Don't think for one second that you're promised tomorrow. God ain't promised you tomorrow. You don't know when you're going. So let's get close to him now. Let's get in the scriptures now. Let's start to pray to him now. Let's seek his face. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. God bless you.
Amen. Peace. And
what I'm going to share with you is about zombies. And I never thought that I would say that I would first dream about zombies, let alone share that it has to do with something today, in today's day and age. So I've had 3 zombie dreams within 3 weeks. Okay. This took place about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, but I had 1 dream a week, 3 weeks in a row about zombies. And in each dream, there was a progression. There was something uniquely different of this. So I'll get into some details. The first dream, my wife and I are in this big store. The power cuts out. The lights go off. But we knew it wasn't just in this building. It was in the whole city. So some people are panicking, freaking out. Other people are playing it off and acting immature and goofy. And so my wife and I go out this back door. Through the back door, there's a bunch of people outside. There is a fence on the right side with 2 beasts wrestling with each other, which seems very significant to me. But where these people are in this field, there's a red sky, and there's a repetition of the red sky over and over and over again. Anything that seems like madness, tribulation, end days, dreams that I've had, there's always some wild, ominous red sky. There's a red sky, and we knew in order to get out of this, we had to go back through the building to get to the city. It was the only way to get out. We couldn't get out any other way. So we go through the building, go into the street. This is where it gets interesting. Mind you, this is still the first dream. We're in the street, and there's chaos. People are freaking out, running out in all sorts of different directions. The thing that's unique is you can see people getting attacked. But what you don't realize is these people are zombies, the ones doing the attacking. So I have my wife by the hand. We're running through the city. I have my head on a swivel. I'm just so alert, looking at everything. And I had this bald man, this bald Caucasian man, came out to me to like grab me by the shoulders and try to lunge at me and bite me. Eyes really beady. The best way I could explain it is he seemed like he was high on something, bug-eyed, you know, had a lot of strength, but it was just wild to see the difference. Up close, you could tell the difference of people. There's 2 groups of people. People panicking and these people attacking. You couldn't tell the true difference of what was going on inside of them and that there was almost like a possession in them until you saw them up close. So we flee, and there's not too much after that. It kind of transitions into something else. The second dream, very interesting. I'm with a friend of mine. There's a pickup truck. We're close to the water. We're close to the ocean. There's sort of this boardwalk or this boulevard by the shore. There's these people walking. Then all of a sudden, there's this one person that stops, turns, and looks at me. Now, from a distance, I could clearly see that there was something different in this person. They sort of had this palish green tint to their skin. Their eyes were open like this, but like a bright white, like a hollowed out white. It's sort of tough for me to explain, but it just seemed something like you'd see in a movie, like a Halloween movie. The skin was this palish green, and the eyes were bright white, but just something like you felt like this person was looking through you. So again, a pickup truck behind my friend and I, and this guy stops, turns, looks at me, and starts charging at me. But I knew who this person was in the dream. I don't know who they are now, but I was clearly familiar with who they were. Now, this zombie person was strong. They had a lot of strength. so we were wrestling in this truck. And as we're in the bed of this truck, I take something like a weight. I think it was a 40-pound weight in my hand. Felt a lot lighter in the dream. But it was a 40-pound weight. Tried to hit him in the head and fight him off. The dream then changes into something else. The third dream. This is where it gets even more interesting. I feel like I'm on the beach. It's kind of a short dream. I'm on the beach, not facing the ocean, but facing inland. There's a pathway, and there's zombies in the way. I run through the pathway. These zombies are coming at me. This path that I take, it's almost like I'm taken to a movie set in a tent. Now, where I am, there's people that I know in our physical, tangible life, actual people that I know and people I don't know. Of course, in these dreams, I always feel like I know everybody. What's interesting is, once I pass these zombies that were coming after me that actually look like your creepy Hollywood movie zombies, when I go past them and I engage the people that I know, I turn around and there's a tent. There's a big white tent, sort of transparent. You can see that there were zombies on the inside of this tent. You could just kind of see the shadows or the silhouettes, but not the details. As I go up to the tent, I go in and I could count them. There was about 17, 18, 19. I remember not counting 20 zombies. It had to be somewhere from probably 17 to 19 zombies. I was counting them one by one. What was so weird is they were these creepy movie, horror movie zombies, but they started transforming to their former selves. So it was as if I could see what they looked like before their bodies transformed to what they had become. Super creepy. So just a quick recap. First dream, people look normal complexion, normal skin, just bug-eyed, physically attacking people. The second dream, the skin transforms to this palish green. Kind of reminds me of the pale horse in Revelation. And then the third dream, they're just flat out horror movie zombies. But I could see who they were before they became zombies. So, family, I have to share this, and I'll be careful with my wording because YouTube is going crazy right now, shutting down videos and blocking channels. But please be careful with what is out there in regards to what is injectable into someone's body for a particular sickness floating around in the air at the moment. I'm going to try to say it this way and construct my words in a careful way. There is something happening now, and this is truly a season and a period of testing of our faith. Testing the faith of the believers, and also God is allowing non-believers an opportunity to find Him or get caught up in the ways of the world and try to find the solution to all this by the way of the world. Strongly feel 100% of my heart that there's a lot of deception and a lot of things out there right now that are going to do and are doing physical harm to the body, very serious harm to the body. It is no coincidence that I've had 3 zombie dreams in 3 weeks. These things just don't happen. Please, whether you are a believer or not, please pray for the revelation and understanding of what we live in right now and what is taking place, what is being pushed in our time, why these things exist, why the earth seems like it's groaning in pain, insane amount of earthquakes, trembles, storms, fires. A lot is happening right now, and I think that there's a plot to wipe out man. And just please be careful, family. Please don't rush into any decisions. Please study all these things. Pray for the details. Pray for the revelation of what's going on. Please take care of your bodies and trust in the Lord. Don't just be that person that has one foot in the world, one foot out, saying, well, I believe in God and I know He's got me, but I really need to do A, B, and C because I don't think God can really heal me that way or take care of me or protect me that way. Yeah, I believe in God, but, you know, not that much. I love you guys, even if I don't know you or I haven't met you yet. We are in such a serious season right now, such a serious season of testing. before very heavy judgment. And I just pray that you guys get understanding. If you have dreams, whatever it may be, write it down, pray on it. If you have experiences, don't just brush them off or pass them off. It's a serious time, family. So I pray that you're blessed, that you're covered by the hands of the Lord, that you know Him, and that you know Him more in this time. God bless you guys. Take care and be safe.